You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. After spiking in the early years of the pandemic, homicides in California have taken a turn for the better. The state is reporting that killings are down to historic lows not seen in decades. Governor Gavin Newsom even touted the state's declining homicide rate during his final State of the State address earlier this month, pointing out that some cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles have reached lows not seen since the 1950s and 1960s. But the reason behind this drop is not exactly clear. All of this as California comes off a year of big changes to its criminal justice system, from Prop 36 being in full effect to crack down on certain retail and drug crimes, to a continued drop in the state's prison population. Nigel Dwara is a justice reporter with CalMatters, a nonprofit newsroom that partners with public media stations across the state, and joins us now. Welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So let's start a little before the pandemic. What did California's homicide rates look like leading up to 2020?
Before the pandemic, we were having a similar conversation because the homicide rate was very low. It was lower than it had been in quite a while. And if you look at the history of homicide rates in California, the late 80s and early 90s are where you see these huge numbers, crack epidemic, trickle-down economics, all that kind of fun stuff. So when it came to 2019, you or 2018 or 2017, these were very low. And then the pandemic hit.
Okay. And before we dive into pandemic numbers, like, it's important to point out that even though, yes, there was a spike during the pandemic, it was still far below those high homicide rates of the 1990s that you just touched upon. But what kind of increases and spikes were seen during COVID?
Well, you saw certainly a massive jump in the homicide rate. I think it was around 30%. Beyond that, you saw the affiliated crimes. So assaults were up, right? Assaults with a firearm were up. Carjackings were up. Robberies were up. So that persisted in 2020 and 2021 and a bit into 2022. Then we saw it start to change. Mm.
What do experts attribute that spike in homicides during the pandemic to?
So there's a D.C. nonprofit that's called the Council on Criminal Justice, and they asked a bunch of different academics and professionals that work with criminology what they thought was going on. And everyone said at the outset, look, there's a lot of different stuff. But if you ask the criminology folks and the cops, they'll say the policing's improving, right? That they're targeting high-risk offenders. If you ask the sociology professor, they'll say that the crime intervention strategies were working and that the prevention strategies were working. If you ask the economics professor, that person said that Biden's 2021 stimulus to the states and local governments is what was starting to pay off. So in their words, it's multifactorial. Mm. It's a lot of different things. And no one can put their finger on it and say exactly why this is happening. But there are some theories.
And what are those theories?
So we talked to Magnus Lofstrom, who I'm sure you all have had on the show before. He's at PPIC. And he says that, look, yeah, we can't put one finger on it, but what we can say is that people were out of work, kids were out of school, and there was just more time, you know, for mischief. There was also, you know, of course, stuff happening in 2020, the George Floyd homicide, and the concomitant protests here in LA and across the country. Those don't appear to be any kind of a cause, but it did definitely contributed to an atmosphere that we found ourselves in 2021 saying, what is going on?
Hmm. And now we are looking at historic lows in California's homicide rate. When you hone into certain areas of the state, are certain regions and cities faring better than others in terms of this drop?
Certainly the biggest changes were in places where they had quite a few homicides, right? Where the spike went up, we saw the spike go down. So for instance, in Orange County and Ventura County, they never really saw a huge spike, so you don't see the huge drop, but their numbers are pretty good. In Kern County, which is stubbornly the highest homicide rate in California over and over, they also didn't see a huge drop, but they did see one. Where you all are in Sacramento, the Bee reported that there were 37 homicides in 2024. That was down to 18 homicides last year. So a cut of more than 50%.
Hmm. And even further south in the Central Valley, Modesto also didn't record a single homicide last year. Now that's 2025. We're looking at 2024 numbers. Where is this data coming from?
This is usually done by local papers and local outlets that will track it. Like I just mentioned, the Sacramento Bee or the LA Times did their own analysis. The Chronicle did. They're doing city by city. We won't get the full picture of the entire state until the Department of Justice releases their numbers. They usually do that in July of every year.
Okay, and then how does the DOJ compile the numbers? Where do they get the homicide rate from?
Sure. Every municipality and sheriff's department, every office has to send in their numbers. So they send them up to the DOJ here in California, the California DOJ, and they compile it and then issue their report and their trends. And the attorney general will put his, statement forward and say what he thinks is happening.
Are there any issues in the way that this is collected?
Sure. Crime stats overall are always going to be a little smushy. Because of the way it's reported, basically the police departments will tell the DOJ, our DOJ, California DOJ, what's going on. But they also report numbers to the FBI's UCR, which is the crime statistics they publish every year. Now, the reporting from different agencies can really vary. Sometimes they don't report at all. Sometimes they will classify things in different ways. So something might look way worse or way better. That has been a problem, and that is a big problem with analyzing crime statistics, especially in a narrow thing like 1 year, and for something as specific as homicides.
When it comes to those reasons, there's not a clear reason as to why the homicide rate has dropped. I think you said the PPIC, the Public Policy Institute of California, has called it multifactorial. So a lot of reasons going into this pot of the homicide rate dropping. But when you talk to other researchers, you did talk to a UC Davis public health researcher. How did that give you a better understanding, again, of some of those theories and reasons and factors behind a drop in homicides?
Sure. If we just sort of like armchair synthesize everything everyone's saying, we can see that there was a massive social disruption, whatever you want to ascribe it to in 2020, right? We had a pandemic, we had everything we just talked about. And coming out of that, as the numbers drop, it may be everything that these folks are saying. It may be that the Biden stimulus started kicking in and that policing started improving and focusing on high-risk offenders. Or it could be that people went back to work and went back to school and they just weren't out on the street, right? So as you see people kind of scrambling to say what it might be, what it might not be, I have to say again, every one of these researchers says we don't really know yet. And it's probably too soon to be able to tell and to draw any long conclusions out of it. And you probably definitely don't want to make any policy choices out of that yet.
How does California fit into the larger national picture?
We have a lot of big cities. Right. So what happens in New York, what happens in LA, what happens in California is going to massively affect the national picture. Right. We're going to juke the stats one way or the other. One thing that you probably saw last year, if you're on social media, and you shouldn't be, is Governor Gavin Newsom. And he is using the homicide statistics from 2024 to take swings at his opponent, the governor of Arkansas and a senator from Mississippi. He's swinging around saying our homicide rate is lower, therefore we're doing something right. I would probably follow that up and ask him, what are we doing right? But anyway, that's what's happening.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters justice reporter Nigel Dwara about California's homicide rate dropping to historic lows following a spike during the pandemic. So if we take a look at California's criminal justice policy across all of the last year, a big point is that it was also the first year where Prop 36 was in effect. Voters approved that back in November 2024, and it increased penalties for certain theft and drug crimes and reverse parts of, the previous Prop 47. How did prosecutors across the state use these new abilities with Prop 36?
Sure. So the idea with Prop 36, or at least part of it, is that somebody, as you mentioned, with a theft or drug crime, who has substance abuse issue, is able to take an alternate sentence. They can take what's called a treatment mandated felony. It's their choice to do it, or they can do 3 years in jail or prison. So the idea is that they'll spend that time, getting better and are less likely to reoffend. My colleague, Kayla Milkovich, looked at this. She took a really close look at Prop 36, and she's finding that there are a lot of people in the program, but not a lot coming out. I think the number she found in October of last year was a total of like 25 people had actually accepted a treatment mandated felony and gone through with it. So that program, again, it's pretty early, but there are some kind of factors that are going into that. The big one being funding.
And are we talking about care court?
No, this is separate.
Oh, it's
This
separate.
is, yeah. This is where you're convicted and they give you an option if under Prop 36 as the person who's convicted of what you're going to do. Care court, I believe, is less voluntary.
When it comes to Prop 36, when talking about it on this show, I mean, one of the biggest criticisms from local governments and law enforcement agencies is there wasn't a funding mechanism to Prop 36. So do officials feel like Prop 36 is effective?
Depends who you ask. District attorneys, of course, say, hey, we need more money, right? The initial bill asked for $600 million annually. They got 100 million of a one-time allocation. And we saw the same thing with the police shooting bill a couple years ago, where they asked for one sum of money and they got half of it. And now they're still digging out of that backlog. So district attorneys are going to say, we need more money. We have our hands, we're doing this one hand tied behind our back. Public defenders are saying the entire program is a failure and a waste of time.
I mean, you also took a deep dive into the incarceration rate. I mean, California's prison population continues to go down. What are the big changes that are leading to this drop?
Sure. By and large, sentencing changes, sentencing law changes, things that have been happening since realignment, which was 2011, which means a lot of people out of the prisons and more people in the jails. So that's been a big factor.
I mean, how big of a drop are we talking about?
Well, if you look at, let's say, 2006, when there were inmates in the prison sleeping in the hallways and in the rec rooms and stuff, to a prison today, we're down. There's always capacity issues, but the capacity issues are significantly less. I think that the prison population now is below 90,000 people. Forgive me, I don't remember what it was in 2006, but it was a heck of a lot higher.
What are you interested in following in 2026 and seeing develop?
Let's get through this month first. We do a lot of immigration coverage, and so as you can imagine, that's going to be on here. As far as justice stuff goes, we're going to have a gubernatorial election. Our AG is running for AG again. So we'll see what the priorities of the next governor are and where they put their money.
The month that feels like a year. Nigel, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Nigel Dwara is the CalMatters Justice Reporter. We've been talking about California's dropping homicide rate and what it means amid a year of changes to the state's overall criminal justice system. Still ahead, being connected to news right at your fingertips, it does have perks, but there is a fine line between being informed and doom scrolling, especially considering what sources you trust. We'll learn about navigating the quickly evolving news media landscape. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.